Luke chapter number 24. So I've had the opportunity while Pastor's gone to... I'm looking for a clock. There it is. Is it 7:39? Okay. Somewhere. That's way down here where I'll never see it. I'll put it up here where I'll never pay attention to it. All right. Brother Jordan, I appreciate that message Sunday night. That was a tremendous message. I was just eavesdropping on your message tonight. And that was a tremendous message. Amen. It has blessed my heart, okay, to hear Brother Jordan Wilson preach on Sunday night. I liked his context. I liked his content. I liked his courage. All right. I liked his compassion. I just liked everything about the message. It was just a tremendous blessing to hear Brother Jordan preached, and I thanked the Lord that he's available in our church. Amen. All right, so I've been able to fill in for Pastor. We've had 2 days of Bible class. It's been wonderful. All right, we're having a great time in Bible class. Pastor says, you have my Bible class, if you could take that. Absolutely, Pastor. And he says, I can leave you notes, or you can teach whatever you think you need to teach. I said, you do what you want me to do. If you want me on the same page, then leave me your notes, and I'll try to follow. And if not, God will lead. And Pastor didn't leave no notes, so I got in on Tuesday night, and I got up on Wednesday morning, headed to class, and said, all right, Lord, I'm teaching a Bible class. What do you want me to teach? We had Bible class yesterday and today. And Bible class yesterday. I wrote these notes down, too. Okay, Bible class yesterday. We had it. Bible class yesterday was life has questions or problems. God, Word has the answer. All right? And then I opened it up to questions. And they thought they were getting Pastor Harris on a squirrel trail. That's the squirrel trail I wanted to take. It's a very broad question to ask Brother Harris. It was something like, can you tell us about, how was that worded? Any of you Bible students remember Colby? Okay, I don't think, was it craziest adventure? Was it? Okay, the craziest adventure you've done is being a missionary. I wrote the book on that one. And so I just had to say, well, that's awful general, and by that time God had put one in my mind, okay? I told a bumpy story, okay? And the class was over, and then this morning we reviewed, and the lesson this morning was God's road has bumps on it. All right, and this taught some life lessons that are learned from the Word of God. And then Pastor's having me teach his algebra class. All right? And the answer is, yes, algebra can be fun. Okay? And we're having a great time in algebra class. And I missed out on economics. All right? Mrs. Hall. How's that? Anyway, she took my class for me, so I didn't do the economics, but I guess we'll get that next week. We're having a good time. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor, and thank you for the opportunity to teach your kids. Amen. All right. We're in Luke. Now, I used verse 45 in our Bible class on Wednesday, and that's not why I'm here tonight, believe it or not, but I want to go to verse 46. And I want us to look at this verse, chapter 24. And according to Sean, Brother Elam, Brother Martin preached on this verse last night. I don't know what he preached, but why I'm going there tonight. God, as soon as I heard the verse, I knew that's where God wanted me tonight. So that's where we're at. Amen? So, this is after the resurrection, which is coming up. All right, we are on a Thursday. Christ is in the tomb. All right, the body of Christ is in the tomb. And he's going to rise again. And Brother Price was on the phone yesterday, and the phone call was taking longer than it was supposed to, I guess. And he had his kids, his children. My mom says kids are goats. So he had his children in the hallway, and I watched them there. And then it finally clicked on me. Oh, I know why they're in the hallway. And so I marched them all into the office. And we had two girls, and I have two seats, and we had three boys, and we had three standing up. And I said, now, we need to have a executive meeting. We need to find out how this school is doing. Anyway, so we were talking. They told me that they're going to go tomorrow, I think it is, and sing. And they're going to sing some Easter songs. And, you know, it takes very little to get Pastor Harris to start singing. So an old song I heard, I haven't heard it for years, but I don't have to see the tomb in Jerusalem to know that my Savior lives. I have, but I don't need to. All right? And he lives. Why? Because he lives within my heart. We serve a risen Savior. Amen? And so that's going to happen. That's going to happen in this weekend. We're looking forward to that on the first day of the week. But it has happened here in our context, okay? And now, in this context, Christ appears, okay, in verse number 1 of chapter 24, we find it's the first day of the week. And then we find that he appears, the ladies come very early in the morning bringing spices, and they find out that the tomb is empty. It was Mary, verse number 10, Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. All right, and they left, and then in verse 13, there's two of them that same day walking to the village called Emmaus. And as they talked together, verse 14, about all these things which had happened, it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself stood near, went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They talked, and then Jesus showed himself to them, and verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then later on in this verse, of course, they're meeting together, and Jesus himself comes in the midst of them, verse 36, and says, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. He says in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. And verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. That's always been my theme verse for my studies on any particular book. It's always been understanding Genesis, understanding Revelation, understanding Ephesians. And it's taken from this verse right here. Or if I do a series on a theme, understanding tithing, for example, understanding missions, then I'll use this first. Then open to their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. But I want to look at verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ. And so tonight the message is entitled, The Hindsight That We Should Have Aforetime. Okay? The hindsight that we should have aforetime or before time. Okay? Hindsight, they say, is 2020. All right? Every one of us can say, man, if I would have just known. And did you know that a Christian should have just known? Now, are you ready? There's a song. It's so spiritual. Now you're just, it's going to wow you. This, I've been listening to Mrs. Burke sing songs on Jonah. I heard her song on Jonah. Okay? This one is called, ready? On mules we find two legs before, and two we find behind. We stand behind the two before, before the two behind. When you're behind the two behind, you find what these before. So stand before the two behind, behind the two before. If you would just would have known. I believe Uncle Doug has stood behind the two behind before and found what these before. I too have stood behind the two behind and found what these before. And hindsight would say stand before. Okay? Now, as a Christian, if I can take that little diddly and I can take that little illustration and apply it to real truths in our life, the hindsight that we should have aforetime. Right now where we're at, Christ is in the tomb in our time frame. But we know He lives. All right? We don't have to see, as I sang before, the tomb in Jerusalem to know that my Savior lives. All right? We have God's Word on it. Amen? And you can go to the tomb in Jerusalem. But, you know, once you get to Jerusalem, you find out that it's all tourism. And they really don't know exactly where any of it took place. And it doesn't matter because my Bible tells me it took place. And I want you to know, child of God, that what we're going to celebrate on Sunday has taken place. And you and I ought to have the foresight from that hindsight to live our lives. All right? And so I've just got some simple thoughts here tonight. The hindsight that we should have aforetime. So let me say this. In my text, we're going to use this text from God's Word, and it's going to show us what we need to know. That's what the Bible's for. Amen? It's our rule of faith and practice. And so we're going to take what is here and apply it to our life. Now, look at verse number 46, if you were with me. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. All right? Number one, if we only knew, we do know. So what we need to do is we need to think on the providence of God. When life comes at you fast, life comes at you slow. Just when life comes at you, think on the providence of God. All right, now when we talk about the providence of God, we're talking about that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present, all-powerful. Okay? And Psalm 143, verse number 5, the psalmist says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse. All right, that's an old English word, means to think on. Okay? I think on the work of thy hands. What we need to do aforetime, before whatever may come in our life, we need to think on the providence of God. All right, it has been said, and I've probably said it, you've probably heard me say it, all right? But did it ever dawn on you that nothing dawns on God? All right? And it would be good if that dawned on us. That whatever happens in my life, God isn't sitting in heaven going, oh no, I didn't see that coming. Really? All right. He who created the world from eternity past knew exactly what was in your road long before you ever faced it. And so what we need to realize aforetime, as the hindsight of what the Bible records and what they missed, was Jesus tells them, it's written. It is written. It's already been written. It's not like some new thing. I've shared several times with our Marco Polo group chat with the missionaries out of this church that we ought not to think it's some strange thing when something happens to us. We've been told. We have the hindsight that this is already in God's hands. And so think on the providence of God. Just muse on the providence of God. Just think on the providence of God. And if that's not your God, then you're not serving the God of the Bible. But the God of the Bible is providential. All right, he doesn't have to back up. He doesn't have to reorganize. He doesn't have to hit it another time. It's all in his plan. It's all in his timing. It's all in his will. And all I have to do is trust him. And so think on the providence of God. Number two, in verse number 32, let's go back and read this. The Bible says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures? In verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Number two, another part of the hindsight that we have aforetime as we walk through life. Number one, think on the providence of God. Number two, we need to track the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the author says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What the hindsight that we need as we walk through life is we need to think on the providence of God. Just who do we serve? I serve an almighty God. And then we need to track the presence of God, because God has given us a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Where do we find that? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 and 8. John chapter 1, verse number 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20 in the Old Testament. There are over 100 passages of Scripture in our Word of God that promises us that God will always be there. I remember one time when one of the things we were going through in Mexico, and I was talking to Pastor, and I said, you know, I was reading in the Bible today. It's a good thing to do. And I said, I was reading it, and I think it's in Psalms, but anyway, the psalmist says, bring me out of prison. He's talking to the Lord. And he says, bring me out of prison. And I told Pastor, I said, isn't that great? And it's like, okay, what are you seeing, Pastor Harris? What are you seeing? Bring me. It doesn't say take me. It doesn't say come and get me. It says bring me. What does that mean? That means he's already there with me. I don't go through anything in life but that God is not a very present help in my time of trouble. I don't have to holler for him to come get me. All I have to do is, like we saw here, then open to either eye. Their eyes were holding, but then open to either understanding to understand. And I just need to say, bring me out of my circumstances. I need to track the presence of God. Pastor Wayne Burke had said one time, when you cannot see the footprints of God, I forget how he said that. Somebody help me. When you can't track him, trust him. All right, and then he had a little extra to that, and it's the essence of the fact that, you know, the footprints in the sand poem, that, you know, why was it there were two foots of sets of footprints, but then when we got to the hardest part in my life, there's only one set of footprints. Lord, why did you leave me? And the Lord's answer in that poem is, I didn't leave you, I carried you. It became too much for you. And that's where it is. We need to track the presence of God. Now, so hindsight makes great foresight. Track the presence of God. Where is God at right now in your life? Okay? Where is He at in your life? Can you track His presence? You know, when our daughter Bethany was in the hospital, and I forget who it was, and a pastor from the area, I guess, came up and was there at Children's Hospital when we first came back from New Zealand, and that man said to me, well, Brother Harris, I imagine that, you know, if there's ever a time in your life when you needed to get close to the Lord, it's now. And it just floored me that he would say that, and I looked at him, I said, Pastor, I said, if I wasn't close with God, now's not the time to do it. It's too late. And you don't know, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Where's God at right now in your life? Track the presence of God. If they would have just known who was talking with them, if they would have just known who was walking with them, it would have changed their whole outlook on what was happening. You read this chapter and they said, dost thou not know? Art thou a stranger in Israel and Jerusalem that you've not heard? How in the world is it that possible? They didn't know who they were talking to. They didn't know who they were in the presence of. So, think on the patience of God. Track the presence of God. Number three, tune in to the power of God. Tune in to the power of God. John 15:5, Jesus had told them, for without me ye can do nothing. And it's the same for you and I. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ had died. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not heard? And it is Him, they said, that we thought should deliver us. And He's dead. But we need to tune into the power of God. Acts 26:28, when Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, I love this. Paul said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? They go, well, never happened before. But why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God could? God can do anything. And you may not have ever faced this in your life before, but God can do anything. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of what? What we're talking about, His resurrection. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And don't try to, I guess, think some type of a spiritualization of that, but anybody that can raise the dead can do anything. That's the power of His resurrection. God can raise up your dead life, and God can raise up everything in your life to give Him honor and glory. We need to tune in to the power of God. If I'd just known that I couldn't do it in my own power, if I'd just known that God could do it in His power, and if I just tuned in to that power in my life. Number four, a hindsight. All right, review. Think on the providence of God. Number two, track the presence of God. Number three, tune in to the power of God. And then look at verse 47 here. The Bible says, so he opened their understanding. Let's go back to verse 45. That they might understand the Scriptures. This is what it's all about. Okay, that's what he's telling them. And said unto them, this is what it's all about. It is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? What the word that? And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Number four, hindsight. Trust the purpose of God. Do I believe that God has a purpose in my life? If I don't, I am all men most miserable. Purposes, if you will, kind of get redefined. It was the hardest thing on my dad when he could no longer get out of the house, because he's been a soul winner all his life. To not be able to get out of the house, he had to realize the purpose of God had focused in a different way, and he became a prayer warrior for God. But God has a purpose. We can't. Life goes on, and life is hard. And it's hard to just imagine maybe what's around the corner, but quit worrying about it. Just trust God. And God has a purpose. Now, some terrible things may have happened in your life. I'm so sorry. And if we could go back and clean those up and change those, surely we would. But sorry, we can't. But you can trust God that God has a purpose. And Jesus has died. And they're like, now what? We had hoped that He would deliver us, and our hopes are dashed. We trusted, verse 21, let's go back there and look at that. As they're explaining to Him, but we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Why'd they say it's the third day? Well, because Jesus had promised to rise the third day, and it was the third day. And sometimes God's timing just doesn't seem to work with our timing. And sometimes God's plan just doesn't seem to work with our plan. And number one, God has a plan. Okay? Number two, God's all powerful. Okay? And number three, God has a purpose. And so we find, trust the purpose of God. Just trust the purpose of God. It was my whole life's dream and ambition to go back to Africa as a missionary. Never been there as a missionary. And then God seemed fit to this man. Yanked me out of Africa, and he put us in New Zealand, and we went to New Zealand for the rest of our life. And you say, well, why aren't you there? That's a good question. 2 years later, the illness and death of a daughter, as you know, God took us out, and we haven't been able to go back. And we went to Bullhead City, and I thought 3 years we'll start a church and be on our way. And 10 years later, I was like, I guess I'm dying here. I don't know. I'm just going to stay here till. And God said, nope, now it's time to go. Okay, Lord. Guess what's the last country in the world I would have ever thought that God would send me to? And if you guess Mexico, you are right. And even then I thought, 3 years, we'll go down there, learn Spanish, come back up to southern Arizona, and or northern Mexico as we call it, and start a bilingual work. And almost 20 years ago, I can't believe that. What happened? I don't know. But trust the purpose of God. Number 5. This is my last one. Hindsight that we should have aforetime. Before things go south. Think on the providence of God. Track the presence of God. Tune into the power of God. Trust the purpose of God. Look at verse number 50. And so he led them out. Did you catch that? He led them. As far as Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And then I want you to notice this, verse 53. And they were what? Continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Number 5. Travel the process or the path of God. Just travel the process. And he led them out. Just let God lead you. Go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. We find he led them, he blessed them, he parted from them, they worshipped him, they returned, and were continually in the temple, praising God and blessing God. Just travel the process of God in your life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't sit. Don't stand. Just go. Just let God lead you. And then the last word in the chapter is the word amen. It means so be it. He means put a period on it. Okay? Travel the process of God. Just do that. Just do that. That's a hindsight that you and I ought to have aforetime. You don't need to stand behind the two behind to find what these before. Stand before the two behind the two before. Okay? You got it? Good hindsight to have aforetime.